Welcome to our deep dive into all this new menopause science. I mean, wow, you sent over this incredible Nature article from January 2025, The New Science of Menopause, it's called. And some of this research, I mean, really, it's just mind-blowing. We're going to like unpack all of it today so that you can feel, totally equipped with the information you need about this. This just crucial stage of life. We're going to cover everything from hormone replacement therapy and like how it's evolved, to even the potential for delaying menopause like altogether.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a really exciting time for menopause research. Like we're seeing a real like shift in how we understand and approach this stage of life, you know?
Yeah, and the article starts with this story about Naomi Bush. She's a physician who like realized even doctors have trouble finding, solid information about menopause. When her book club like started asking her all these questions, what I found so surprising was that the demand for menopause specialist has actually skyrocketed.
Yeah, totally. It really highlights the information gap that's existed for way too long, you know? Menopause is such a universal experience for women, but it's been like so under-researched and often just dismissed as something to just get through, you know? But that's finally changing.
Right, and let's talk about hormone replacement therapy, or HRT. It used to be the standard treatment for managing symptoms, but then that 2002 Women's Health Initiative study, or WHI, came out, and it really like created a lot of fear around it.
The WHI study had a huge impact for sure, but it's important to remember that the study itself had limitations. You know, for instance, it primarily looked at women who began HRT much later in menopause, often 10 years or more after their last period. And also, the types of hormones used back then were different. They primarily used synthetic progestin, whereas today, bioidentical hormones are often preferred, which are structurally identical to the hormones our bodies produce. Plus, the delivery methods have evolved too. We now have transdermal patches, gels, and even subcutaneous pellets, which can provide more consistent hormone levels compared to the oral pills they mostly used in the WHI.
So like the study may not even really reflect the HRT landscape today. The Nature article even suggests that early initiation of HRT, like before age 60 or within 10 years of menopause, could actually offer benefits like protecting bone and heart health.
Exactly. The timing of HRT seems to play a crucial role. Starting it earlier, like during the transition phase rather than years later, could significantly alter the risk-benefit profile.
Okay, so this is where it gets really fascinating for me. The article talks about research into actually extending ovarian life. I had no idea this was even being explored. Like, tell me, what does that even mean? How is that even possible?
Well, we tend to think of ovaries just solely in terms of their role in reproduction, you know, producing hormones like estrogen and progesterone, releasing eggs, but they actually have broader functions in the body, impacting everything from metabolism to bone health. Researchers are now looking at ways to actually prolong the average lifespan of ovaries, potentially delaying menopause indefinitely. Some of the methods being explored include stem cell therapy, gene editing, and even ovarian tissue cryopreservation and transplantation.
Hold on, delay menopause indefinitely. That's a huge concept. Like, what would even be the implications of something like that?
It's a revolutionary idea. It raises a lot of questions. Societally, it could impact everything from family planning to career trajectories. Imagine a world where women could potentially conceive naturally, well into their 50s or even 60s. And on a personal level, it really challenges our perception of aging. And like what it even means to be a woman. If menopause is no longer an inevitability, how does that shift our understanding of womanhood and the life course, you know?
That's a lot to think about. I'm really curious about like the specifics of this research, though. What are scientists like actually doing to try to prolong ovarian function?
One promising avenue is stem cell therapy. Researchers are investigating ways to use stem cells to regenerate ovarian tissue and stimulate the production of new eggs. Are also exploring gene editing techniques to try to identify and modify genes that contribute to ovarian aging.
Gene editing? Wow. That's getting into some seriously cutting-edge science. Are there like potential downsides to extending ovarian function, though? I mean, it seems like it could be messing with like some pretty fundamental biological processes.
Yeah, you're right. It's not without potential risks. Some scientists worry that like tampering with ovarian lifespan could have, you know, unforeseen consequences for long-term health. Could it increase the risk of certain cancers, for example, or disrupt other hormonal systems in the body? These are all questions that require careful investigation.
Yeah, a lot to consider. It's not just about the scientific possibility, it's about weighing the ethical implications too.
Absolutely. And another ethical consideration is access. Like, if these therapies become a reality, who will be able to afford them? Will they only be available to the wealthy and further exacerbate, you know, health disparities? These are important conversations we need to be having now as the science advances.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about personalized hormone therapy. The article mentioned wearable sensors and bioelectronic implants. What are those exactly and how do they work?
These are some of the most exciting developments in the field of personalized medicine. Wearable sensors like smartwatches or patches can continuously monitor hormone levels in real time, you know, providing valuable data to healthcare providers.
Oh, so instead of relying on blood tests every few months, you could get like constant feedback on how your hormones are fluctuating. That seems incredibly useful.
Exactly. This real-time data allows for much more precise dosing and adjustments to HRT, tailoring it to each woman's individual needs. And then there are bioelectronic implants, which are tiny devices implanted under the skin that can actually stimulate or inhibit hormone production.
Wow. It sounds almost like science fiction. So with the implant, you could theoretically regulate your hormone levels without even having to take medication.
That's the idea. It's still in the early stages of research. But it holds tremendous potential for personalized hormone management.
All of this is giving me so much to consider about my own health and what I might want to discuss with my doctor.
It's empowering, isn't it? Having access to this kind of information allows women to really take a more proactive role in their healthcare.
One thing that really struck me in the article was how the conversation around menopause itself is changing. It's no longer this taboo topic that's whispered about, you know, but something that's being like openly discussed and researched.
It's a positive shift for sure. For far too long, menopause has been shrouded in stigma and misinformation. This new wave of research and awareness is really helping to normalize the conversation and empower women to seek the care they need.
Yeah, I think the internet and social media have played a role too. There are so many online communities and resources now where women can connect and share their experiences.
Absolutely. These online platforms have been instrumental in creating a sense of community and breaking down the isolation that many women used to feel. They've also helped to disseminate accurate information and debunk myths.
Right. It's not just about online communities, though. It seems like there's like a real cultural shift happening, where menopause is no longer seen as this marker of decline, but as a transition, like a new chapter.
Exactly. And this reframing is essential. Menopause is not the end of anything. It's simply a new phase of life with its own unique challenges and opportunities. And as we gain a deeper understanding of the science, we can approach this phase with more knowledge, confidence, and even excitement.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It feels like we're really on the cusp of a menopause revolution with all this like cutting edge research and a growing movement to empower women.
I agree. It's a time of tremendous change and possibility. And it's important to remember that this revolution is being driven not just by scientists and researchers, but by women themselves, demanding better care, more information, and a more positive narrative around this natural stage of life.
Speaking of a positive narrative, I want to go back to this idea of delaying menopause. While it's still a theoretical possibility, it raises some really interesting questions about how we view aging and the life course. What if women could remain fertile for decades longer? What would that mean for our careers, our relationships, our sense of self?
It's fascinating to contemplate, isn't it? It challenges our preconceived notions about what's normal and what's possible. Imagine a world where women could choose to have children in their 50s or 60s without the need for assisted reproductive technology. How would that reshape our societal expectations and family structures?
Yeah, that would be a huge shift. And what about the impact on women's careers? If we're not facing like the biological clock picking away in our 30s and 40s, how might that change our decisions about education, work-life balance, and long-term career goals?
It's hard to predict with certainty, but it's likely to have a profound impact on every aspect of women's lives. It could lead to greater gender equality in the workplace, as women are no longer penalized for taking time off to have children. It could also empower women to pursue their ambitions and passions for a longer period of time, knowing that they're not limited by their reproductive biology.
It's mind-blowing to think about all the potential ripple effects. But of course, it's not just about societal implications. It's about personal choices and individual experiences. How would delaying menopause affect women's sense of identity, their relationships, their overall well-being?
These are all questions that deserve careful consideration. Some women might embrace the possibility of extending their fertility and delaying the onset of menopause, while others might have concerns about the potential medical risks or the societal pressures that could come with it.
Right. It's crucial to remember that there's no right or wrong answer here. It's about providing women with the information and the choices to make decisions that align with their own values and goals.
I completely agree. And it's about fostering open and honest conversations about the complexities of menopause so that women feel empowered to navigate this transition with knowledge and confidence.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. We've covered so much ground, from the latest research on HRT and ovarian life extension to the broader societal and personal implications of delaying menopause. What are like your final thoughts on this evolving landscape?
I think it's clear that we're entering a new era in how we understand and manage menopause. The science is advancing at an incredible pace. And with that comes, new possibilities, new questions, and a need for, thoughtful, open discussion.
Listening to you talk about all this research, it's almost hard to believe how far we've come in just a few short years. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that menopause was considered this like taboo topic, something to be endured rather than understood.
Yeah, it's true. And unfortunately, that silence and stigma often prevented women from getting the care they needed and deserved.
But now we're seeing a real shift. Women are speaking up, demanding more research, better treatments, and a more nuanced conversation about this, natural stage of life.
And that's incredibly encouraging. This deep dive has been all about empowering you with the knowledge to make informed decisions about your own health and to advocate for yourself within the healthcare system.
Right. And I think it's easy to feel overwhelmed when you hear about all these latest scientific developments. But the takeaway here isn't to become an expert on every hormone or treatment option. It's about feeling empowered to have those conversations with your doctor, to ask questions, and to explore all the options available to you.
Absolutely. You are your own best advocate. Don't be afraid to seek out second opinions, to consult with specialists, and to do your own research. There are some excellent resources available, like the Menopause Society and the North American Menopause Society, that provide evidence-based information.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the potential to delay menopause, which is still largely theoretical. But what about the women who are going through menopause now? What advice would you give them?
I would say first and foremost, don't suffer in silence. Menopause is a natural transition, but that doesn't mean you have to just. Simply endure uncomfortable symptoms. There are effective treatments available, from lifestyle modifications to hormone therapy, that can really help you manage those symptoms and improve your quality of life.
And it's important to remember that. Every woman's experience is unique. What works for one woman might not work for another. It's about finding what's right for you in consultation with your healthcare provider.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of lifestyle changes. Things like regular exercise, a healthy diet, stress management techniques, and getting enough sleep can all make a big difference in how you feel during menopause.
Something else that struck me while I was reading through this Nature article and prepping for our deep dive was the way it reframed menopause as a time of potential, not just decline.
I think that's a crucial shift in perspective. For far too long, menopause has been seen as the end of something, a marker of aging and decline. But it can also be a time of liberation, of self-discovery, of new beginnings.
Right. We often hear about women feeling more confident, more assertive, more fulfilled after menopause. Like they've raised their families, they've achieved career goals, and now they have the time and freedom to pursue their passions and interests.
And with that comes a sense of empowerment and a willingness to embrace new challenges and opportunities. Menopause can really be a catalyst for personal growth and transformation.
So we've covered so much ground today, from the nuts and bolts of hormone therapy to the potential for delaying menopause to the broader societal and personal implications of this transition. But if you had to leave our listener with one final thought, what would it be?
I would say embrace this stage of life. Educate yourself, advocate for your health, and connect with other women. Menopause is not an ending. It's a new chapter, full of possibilities.
Well said. It's been an incredible deep dive, and I have a feeling this conversation is just the beginning. Thanks for listening.